You might wonder why we haven't read together the psalm that is set for today. The reason is that I'm going to read it from the Good News translation. If you want to see what the NIV has to say, well, it's in the Bible and it's at the page that is written on the notice sheet. Psalm 16. Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me, how good they are. I praise the Lord because he guides me, and in the night my conscience warns me. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. So I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you protect me from the power of death. And the one you love, you will not abandon to the world of the dead. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Thomas wanted to be certain about Jesus and looked for positive proof. Jesus gave him the proof that he was looking for, but then went on to commend the faith of those who believed without seeing. Well, we too have our moments of doubt when we have to fall back on believing without seeing, simply hanging on to our trust in God's love and promises. This was something that King David had to do. He was a man who lived by faith, faith in God who had anointed him as king. Psalm 16 is the prayer of a real man. It's David's prayer with his experiences of God. God who was real in his protection, his provision, his guidance, and his forgiveness. In the good and the bad, the easy and the tough times of life, just as David goes on to pray in Psalm 23, by still waters, green pastures, but even in the valley of deepest darkness. We sometimes tend to think that characters in the Bible are superheroes. But let's pause for a moment and consider the life of David, the author of this psalm. David, the youngest and least important member of Jesse's family. When the prophet Samuel comes to call, he's not even present. They've sent him out to look after the sheep. But he's the one whose heart is right with God and who is anointed by Samuel to succeed Saul as king of Israel. He has the strength to defeat Goliath. But Saul hates and fears David. He's jealous of David's successes and popularity, and he seeks to kill David. In the civil war that ensues, David twice spares Saul's life. Later, Saul dies in battle, and David becomes king. He is victorious. He's successful. The kingdom is established and the nation prospers. But morally, David succumbs to his lust for and his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder by proxy of her husband, Uriah. He fails in controlling his own son, Absalom. Maybe with his own poor example, he finds it difficult to impose family discipline. Civil war breaks out again, and this time Absalom is killed. David mourns, and his kingdom continues. It continues to flourish. There are more victories before David's death. But in all of this, David knew the presence, the guidance, and the forgiveness of God. Here then is his real prayer, a real man praying to a real God. And we're invited to come to this same God, because we too, as Christians, know the presence of God in all the failures and the adventures of our lives. Protect me, O God, I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, all the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. There are some good things for which to give thanks. As Christians, there is our whole experience of God. Forgiveness, life, love, value, purpose, hope. All those things that we find in Christ. We give thanks at meals. We give thanks for our faith in Christ crucified, raised, and coming again. As we do each time when we gather to celebrate the Eucharist. The old hymn is right about our experience of God. Loved with an everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. But to be with God's people is something else. The love, the support, the prayer, the fellowship that we enjoy with the Lord's family here. I miss the folk at Highfield. We all shared together God's vision and mission. And I look back with love on the fellowship at South Oxford, where we celebrated our silver wedding and our two younger children were baptized and our son was married. The prayers and the encouragement of Wynne and Ina and the love and support of my colleagues in college. Before coming to Odell, we were strengthened by the prayers of the fellowship at Tabernacle, Penarth, where Joanna was married. And they've continued to pray for us, and especially to pray for Sheila throughout her treatment for cancer. And now, here, we are blessed once again by the fellowship and the gathering of these people, of you, here in Odell. It is, as the psalmist says, it is our greatest pleasure to be with you. There is a reality of being the church, loving, caring, sharing, supporting, praying, encouraging. And each one of us here this morning needs this. David knew, and I know, there is our need of hearing the voice of God through others, of feeling the warmth and strength of God's presence and support through others. This is what we have. Sharing our stories, sharing our experiences, sharing our dreams, our resources, here together in the mission and ministry of Christ. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. There are other friends. There are other pleasures, and there may be other gods to worship. I know all about that, says David. I've followed the God of pleasure and seen disaster. I've seen the results of jealousy, pride and hate, civil war, destruction, suffering and death. And today, in our world, broken marriages are a testimony to the gods of pleasure, even among the clergy. Broken bodies are a testimony to the gods of food, drink, and drugs. Burdens of debt are testimony to the gods of materialism. Broken, worn out, overstressed people are testimony to the gods of power seeking and achievement. There are numerous examples of people in the media spotlight who have had all the money that you can have, and they can buy all that they need, and their lives are empty. They're never satisfied. I was listening to Radio 5 live some years ago when they reported on a new disease sweeping North America. I've quoted this one before. This new disease is called affluenza. The American dream states that to be happy, you need to get rich. Well, they've got rich, and they're not happy. Affluenza. The middle verses of this psalm, verses 5 and 6, are key for David. They're certainly key for me. In fact, this is one of my very favorite verses from Scripture. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me, how good they are. All we have, all we need, all our futures secure in God. This is our testimony of trust and confidence in God, and it leads us to praise God. I praise the Lord because he guides me, and in the night my conscience warns me. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. And so I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you protect me from the power of death, and the one you love you will not abandon to the world of the dead. Guidance comes through our God-given conscience. We know right and wrong. God does warn us of the consequences of our actions. Yet we're free to choose. David knew this to his pain and regret. However, as Paul reminds us, God will strengthen our resolve to do the right thing if we seek him. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to humankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." Flee from anything that would be put in the place of God. But it does mean fleeing. It means leaving your clothes behind, as Joseph did when faced with the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife. Not staying and taking your clothes off, as David did when he espied Bathsheba taking a bath. God guides us through our prayers, through his word, through others, and through circumstances, which has been my experience throughout various phases of ministry, from secular employment to ministerial training, to church, to college, and now in retirement. Sometimes this requires a great deal of patience, but I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. Nothing can shake our faith, not even death. There is that real strength in bereavement, that upholding love of God, real in so many of our experiences. We know that God is standing there with us in the midst of the worst of tragedies. God does not take us out of, around, under, over, but through the valley of darkness. It was this peace and comfort that Sheila and I knew in the illnesses and deaths of our mothers and fathers, and especially in our time in hospital with Joanna when she was just 3 months old, undergoing an emergency operation, and in family bereavements and illnesses. God does not take us out of our problems, or around them, over them, under them, but he does go with us through the most difficult times. Green pastures, quiet waters, death's dark valley. God accompanies us in our darkest hours. I can only repeat the words of Louise Haskins, quoted by George VI at the darkest hour of World War II, Christmas 1939. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." These are words to encourage us as a church, as we look to future decisions, as we look to the future of this church's existence and mission. You protect me from the power of death, and the one you love you will not abandon to the world of the dead. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. In life and in death, the presence and protection, the love and the power of God. As Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, gives you peace in the Spirit, who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. I ask that your minds may be open to see his light, and that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from the grave. The path is Jesus. The presence is Jesus through the Spirit. The result is peace in life, through death, and for eternity. When we trust our lives to him completely, this is our experience. Today is the first day of the week, the day of resurrection. Jesus, dead and buried, now risen and alive. The proof is there for all to see. He has defeated death for us. New life in Christ is ours. We live out resurrection life in the power of the Spirit as we live as disciples of Christ. Such lives will point others to Christ. You, Lord, are all I have. You give me all I need. My future is in your hands. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Amen.